Good Shepherd Sermon for Sunday, February 10th, 2019. Pastor Paul Talbert.
Good Shepherd Lutheran Church and School is located in Wisconsin Rapids, Wisconsin, in the United States. Our mission is simple and bold. We seek to grow in faith and knowledge of our Savior Jesus. We want to make him known to others so that they too may share the joys that Jesus has won for them. Here's Pastor.
This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. God's word for meditation is from the Gospel of Luke. And I like what we're about ready to see one more time, because I'm somebody who likes, when you're a good part of a movie, the reason I like to buy the videotape of it or the Blu-ray of it is because I like to stop it and go back and rewatch some things. That's what God's word is. It allows you to stop something, go back, and look at it again. So this is roughly how it happened the first time.
Left there by the fishermen, who were washing their nets, he got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people." So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him.
Jesus launches his ministry by gathering some more disciples along with him. And thousands listened, were told that they came, they were pressing so much on him that they couldn't hear. And so he does what you would normally do. Go to boats, step out, and then the unusual thing happens, and they're all surprised. So the first thing that came to mind was a time when I was surprised, when I was expecting one thing and something else happened completely different. You probably already know that I'm not a huge sports guy. I always wanted to play football, but of course I've always been built like this, so I'm not able to play football. Not skilled enough for basketball or hockey. Can't stand on the ice. But when I was in high school, there was an intramural team. That means classes fight against each other. That's kind of fun, okay? You're going against... Well, there was a group of us who were not very good. And instead of saying, "Man, we can't play football because we're not very good," we all decided to get on the grunt team, the team of the throwaways. And so there we were, and just so you know, all of us had a little dream that we always wanted to fill. And my little dream came to pass because we were in the huddle, and somebody, the quarterback at the time, we had chosen him to be, his name was Joel. He's a liar. He's a pastor now, Joel Lyrer, and he was in charge. And he said, "Anyone have anything that they want to do? This is the last game." And I said, "Well, I've always wanted to catch a pass." "Oh, okay." So he holds out his hand like this, and he says, "This is what you do. You go down, you count to three as fast as you can. 1, 2, 3, running as fast as you can. And then you stop, you turn left, count to 2, 1, 2, and then put out your hands. And the ball will be there." I said, "Okay," because I don't know anything. I'm not, you know. So I get down, I go out, fast again, shoom, fast again, shoom, turn over, put out my hands, and there's the ball. And I said, I caught the ball. I was so surprised. And they said, run, run. Needless to say, we did not win that game either. But I don't want to share with you that those surprises happen. If I had been a professional football player, I would know that not to surprise that, because if the guy's a good passer, he can just do exactly what he did. The guys today that we're looking at are Peter, James, and John, and they have this fishing business. They've been out fishing for a long time. They know their business. They know the lake. Lake Gennesaret is another name for Lake Galilee, Sea of Galilee, named after one of the big towns. And so he goes, and he's going to have this great fishing expedition. No, he's teaching people. And when he's done teaching people, he says to these experienced fishermen, remember who Jesus is. Jesus is known as a great preacher, captivating guy. He's also known as a miracle worker. He healed Peter's mother-in-law from a sickness that had kept her down. So everybody knew about Jesus, a miracle worker. Everybody knew there were thousands coming to be taught, remember? So what happened? Jesus, everybody knows, grew up as a carpenter's kid. He's not a fisherman, doesn't have a fishing business. He's in the boat. Now that he's in the boat, he acts like he knows what he's talking about. He says, go out into the deep water. Everybody knows you don't go in the deep water for fish. Cast down your nets and you'll find some fish. And what's interesting is how Peter reacts. He says, Master, we worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I'll let down the nets. He calls him Master, not in the terms of like a Lord or the Lord God. He calls him Master like you and I call somebody Mr. Mr. So-and-so, Mr. Fagain, Mr. Timmerman. That's how he's calling him. He's showing deep respect. He knows who the guy is. But, you know, he's not really a fisherman. So it's kind of like, well, I'll put it down, and then he'll have to see for himself what I already know. And I know it really well because that's my job. I am a fisherman. So he puts it down. And then, surprises, surprises, there's a football in his hands. Except it's way bigger than he ever thought. What in the world is he going to do with this phenomenal catch? So he calls up the other boat, and they fill up both boats to filling, overflowing. And Peter has this moment where he realizes that it's God in the flesh in his boat. And he says, get away from me. I'm a sinful man. Now, you and I might say, well, that's a normal reaction. Yeah, it is kind of. You know, if I'm sick, I say to the kids when they were growing up, get away from me. Not because I don't love them, because I don't want them to get my sickness. But Peter is so overwhelmed by the miracle that he forgets who it is that's doing the miracle. So he calls him Lord, true God. Get away from me. I'm a sinful man. I know what I am to my core. I cannot be in your presence. And I love how the Lord takes care of this. He says, don't be afraid. Just words. He does not do another miracle. Doesn't automatically make the fish go away. Doesn't automatically take care of all the problems in the world. He tells him, don't be afraid. Because Jesus is somebody you want to be with. You and I, we might be thinking to ourselves, oh, I'm glad I'm not like Peter. You know, I'm glad I come here. Here I am to church today, Pastor. I really need to hear what the Lord says. But you know, we are kind of like Peter. We have things that we think we do pretty good, and we kind of use God as a in the back pocket, kind of a take him out if you need him kind of a thing. We forget that we're part of a plan of God that is phenomenal. It started before creation and it's going to end when he comes back. And by God's incredible love and mercy, you and I have been brought into that plan. The plan of knowing that he rescued everybody. His own lifeblood on the cross paid for all sin of all time and abundantly paid for it. Tell you how it happens with the pastor. During my time here as your pastor, I've been here when you just can't keep the people out. There's just so many people in. I've been here also when people don't come to worship anymore, or they come to worship seldom. I've been here when the numbers are really growing and growing, and when the numbers go smaller and smaller. And you know what happens when the numbers go smaller and smaller, people in church? You know what the pastors think? Pastors think, man, I must be doing something wrong. There must be something wrong how I'm preaching or what I'm doing or choices I'm making here. Or I'm a bad administrator. Bad, bad pastor. Naughty pastor. I can't do anything right. That's the temptation. Pastors learn to kick that temptation out of the way because that temptation says, God, you're a liar. That temptation says, God, you're not in charge. That temptation says, God, I'm in charge. And we're not in charge. God is in charge. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So when you and I come up to God and we say, you know, God, this problem is just too big. I don't know what I'm going to do. Guess what? God reminds us in his word, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. When we say to ourselves, you know, my life is too bad. I am too wicked. I am so full of sin. God cannot love me. Then step into Peter's sandals. Get away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man. What does the Lord say? Do not be afraid. How come? It doesn't depend on you. God stepped into history. God stepped into history, gathered up all of our sins, took it on himself, and then paid for them with his own lifeblood on the cross. That's an incredible piece of good news. And you and I, by God's grace, understand that we are sinful people, but we're coming to the God who wants to take our sin away and who has taken our sin away. He is love from beginning to end. So instead of saying, like we said to our kids, Lord, get away from me, I'm sick. We're like the ones who come to Jesus with sick people and say, Lord, your sick person needs help. Help me. Calm my conscience. Tell me my sin is forgiven. Tell me that you have removed my sins from me as far as the east is from the west. Lord, I need to hear that you've taken my mountain of sins and you've dumped them into the middle of the ocean so deep down I cannot find them. Tell me, Lord, that you demonstrated your love for me, that while I was still a sinner, you died for me. And then built up with that wonderful good news, listen to what he says. He says, follow me. Don't use that phenomenal forgiveness to keep on sinning, to keep on rebelling. Use that phenomenal forgiveness to rest assured that God will guard and guide every step of the way. That's incredible good news. No matter what happens, you and I can go through life running 3 feet down, turning left, holding out our hands, and knowing that God will give us his good news without fail every time. And there are people that don't know that. Maybe it's your own children. So you bring them up to understand who the Lord is. As far as is possible with you, you help them see who the Lord Jesus really is and what he has really done. So you bring them to church, you watch what they watch on TV, you take care to have that discussion with them while they're growing up so that they understand, while they're in your care, who the true God is. Maybe your job is one of giving leadership to God's people here. There's all sorts of places to give God's people leadership, to have a godly leader who's a servant, who loves to help God's people along. Maybe you're just, you have no job at all. You have no clue at all what to do, but you are a godly person, a godly son or daughter of your mom and dad. a godly parent of your child. Guess what? The Lord says, let people see that you are following me. Now, we don't do that right, do we? We constantly sin, we constantly fall down. And you know what the incredible thing about our God is that he constantly picks us up, constantly encourages us on the way. And so I want to share this one thing with you as well. One day as Jesus was standing by the Lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw the water's edge, two boats left there by fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from the shore. He sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out of the deep water, put down the nets for a catch. Simon answered, Master, we've worked hard all night, have caught nothing, but because you say so, I'll let down the nets. When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man. For he and his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken, so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, don't be afraid, from now on you will fish for people. So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. From now on, you'll fish for people. They left everything and followed him. I pray that you and I will be seen among the Lord's people this week, right? Obey and follow him. In his name, so let us live. Amen.